Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode, and I have something kind of special for you guys today. It's an interview or a chat with Joe Illich, the executive editor at Valiant Comics, and also a chat with Mel Kylo, the director of marketing at Valiant. So you guys know I'm a huge Valiant fan. That's why I do Valiant Sundays. I was friends with a lot of the executive team over there and a lot of the creators, Dinesh, Hunter Goranson, Warren Simons. A lot of these people have moved on, and I know it's caused a lot of worry. Some people have already said they're done with Valiant. They're not going to read any more Valiant comics. I didn't know how to feel. I was sad. I reached out to these people that were friends. I talked to them. To a man, they all want us to still support Valiant. They still love the characters. They want to see what they helped build continue. But I still didn't know how to feel about it, right? I was like, man, I got interested in the relaunch of Valiant because of the characters. I loved the characters back in the 90s. So when they got relaunched, I wanted to see what it was all about. I came for the characters. But I stayed because of the people. And I think that's the case with a lot of the Valiant fans. And so, again, I just didn't know how to feel. I felt like some of the people that left were treated unfairly. They were kind of pushed out. And did I want to support this new Valiant? You know, I didn't know how to feel about it, like I said. And so in talking to some of the people at WonderCon and now chatting with Joe and chatting with Mel again, I got to say that I really feel like the passion is still there. We certainly can't put the blame on Joe or Mel. They didn't have anything to do with Dinesh leaving or Warren leaving or any of that kind of stuff, right? And the characters are still the same. And I still feel like there are good stories to be told. I feel like the Valiant characters are in the hands of people that care about them, people who are passionate. And the reason I wanted to have Joe and Mel on is because I've had these conversations with them. I've heard what they have to say, but a lot of you haven't. And I know that Joe gave an interview recently on Comics Beat this last week. And you can kind of see his passion and his answers and understand that I think it's a good choice and he does care about these characters and he does want to see them succeed, but it's not quite the same as hearing it in his own words, right? So I gave them this opportunity to come on Valiant Sunday on the Comic Source Podcast and talk directly to you, the Valiant fans, to let them know how you guys feel and to let Joe and Mel talk about their plans for the future and the way they see everything shaping out. So again, I thank Joe and Mel for taking the time to come on and talk to all the Valiant fans. And I hope that you all listen to what Joe and Mel have to say and give it a chance and be patient. I think that the future can be bright for Valiant. I understand that with DMG taking over, there's a level of mistrust there and uncertainty, and you feel like they need to kind of earn our trust. And that's okay to feel that way, but just give them the chance is what I would say. And I think that Joe and Mel both kind of echo that sentiment in the talks that we have. So again, thanks everyone for listening. I hope you enjoy the interviews and we'll talk to you next time.
This is Jace with the Comic Source Podcast, and I'm lucky enough to have Joe Illich joining me today, recently named as executive editor at Valiant Comics. So just want a chance to chat with Joe and let all you listeners know his history with comics and you know, some of his thoughts and goals for Valiant. So first of all, let me say thank you for joining me, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jace, for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about your history with comics to get started. You grew up reading comics, or how did you kind of come to find your love of the medium?
Wow, I've been reading comics since the second grade. When I was a wee kid, my mom, every Friday after work, would take me to the newsstand, and she would buy soap opera magazines, and she would buy me comic books. And so I grew up on, I was a DC head. I was a DC head, All-Star Comics with the Justice Society of America, Legion of Superheroes, which I think at that time was being drawn by Mike Grell. And it wasn't until the fourth grade that an aunt of mine bought me like half a dozen comics one day, and one of them was X-Men 112. On the cover, it had the words Magneto Triumphant. It was a cover by George Perez and I think Terry Austin. And it was the Claremont Byrne Austin Glennis Wine run. And then when I was in the fifth grade, a friend of mine, classmate, he decided that he was going to be an Avengers fan. And one day, in 1 month, he bought 30 Avengers comics. And he was like, I'm an Avengers fan. And so I said, okay, I'm going to be a X-Men fan. And so I started reading X-Men with X-Men 132, which introduced like the Hellfire Club. And so I had been a Marvel fan for those years until 1985 and DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths, which just changed the whole landscape of DC Comics, brought on these great talents, and I went back to being a DC head. And so I've gone back and forth, but the 90s were very seminal for me in a number of reasons. One, that is when I got into the comic book industry starting at Milestone, but that was also when the Valiant books really started to kick off. And I remember the big Unity event that brought all the books together. It had the Frank Miller covers that led to the big image. And I think that was the first time I remember seeing that in comic books, the separate covers that would all lead to one super image. And so the 90s with Milestone and Valiant and Image, and even I think Malibu's Ultraverse, was really an exciting time in comic books. All these companies were really establishing their territory and their identities. And so I've been in comics for a long time in terms of working in comics. I went from Milestone to DC Comics, where I was an editor on the Batman line of books during No Man's Land and the Batman line wide relaunch that came later on that brought people like Greg Rucka into the fold. And then I was out of comics for a while. When I came back, I worked at an independent company called Archaea, which is now owned by Boom. And then I became a columnist on Comic Book Resources, started working for Lion Forge as a senior editor, and now I am at Valiant as an executive editor. And it's great to come back to these characters that I've been following since the first Valiant universe in the late 80s, early 90s.
And when you were growing up, did you always think you would work in the comic industry? I mean, was that like a dream of yours, or did it just kind of happen?
No, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, my first thing was I wanted to be president of the United States. So I really did a major shift from those lofty goals. I mean, in high school, I thought I was going to be a comic book artist. I was like many kids who were inspired by John Byrne and wanted to draw comics. So I went to art high school and art college, but it was in art college that I first became interested in the stories, in the writing. And it was after college that I started interning at Milestone. And it was at Milestone that I really saw the possibility of having a career in comic books. And it was through the tutelage of working with Dwayne McDuffie that I learned what an editor was, really was, and how editors basically work with creators to make them the best possible creators that they can be. And that's where I first learned about the overarching universe and how to work with an overarching universe of characters. And so I would say it was around the 90s when I saw a career in comic books as viable.
Yeah, well, if you're going to pick a mentor as far as editor, that's a pretty good one to pick. Dwayne was an amazing guy.
Thank you very much. He was a friend. I miss him a lot. He continues to be an inspiration. And then after him, I was blessed to have another great mentor, which was Denny O'Neill, working with him on the Batman books when he was a Batman group editor. So I've been very fortunate in that respect.
Yeah, another legend. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how the position at Valiant opened up for you. Did you reach out to them, heard about the opening, or they reached out to you? How did that come about?
You know, I've been friends with Dinesh Shyamdasani for a few years now, a really good guy. what he and Warren Simons did with Valiant is nothing less than impressive and a Herculean task. And I started talking with Warren months ago, and you know, the first talk was, what kind of comic books do you like? You know, how did you get into the business? Who are some of your favorite writers and artists? You know, what books have you done that you would say really represent you as an editor? So, you know, we started having those kind of talks, and that led to an understanding that a position was opening up. And then from there, another series of talks and talking with different people in the organization, especially Fred Pierce, the publisher. Fred and I have known each other for a number of years, and Fred has charted my career going back to my time with Milestone. And, you know, through a series of interviews and discussions and an understanding that I know these characters, I love these characters, and what I want to do is work with the creators and the staff as a member of a team to really help continue the growth and health of the Valiant universe. So once that was understood, and there were interviews upon interviews, because it's not easy, you know, I was blessed to be given the opportunity, and I thought it was an opportunity like no other, and I accepted it.
And wow, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you were familiar with the characters from back in the 90s when Valiant was kind of on the cutting edge. I mean, they really introduced kind of a new way of telling stories. Were you also familiar with a lot of the new iterations when Valiant relaunched in 2012? You'd kind of been following along as well?
Absolutely. I remember keeping a close eye on the Valiant relaunch of 2012. The first single issue that I picked up, though, was Harbinger number one.
That's a good one.
Because I was familiar with Joshua Dysart's work from Unknown Soldier, which is an amazing piece of work. I feel like it was one of the best things Vertigo put out in maybe the last 5 years of Karen Berger's time as head of Vertigo. And I was really intrigued by how Dysart went to live in the place where the story took place. He didn't write this from a distance. He wrote this from an experience, a point of view of experience and intimacy. And so when I saw that he was picked to write Harbinger, that was so unpredictable to me that I felt compelled to buy the first issue. And when I did, I was in. I was sucked in from Harbinger number one. And that's when I started reaching out and purchasing the other Valiant Universe books. I think the second one that I really tumbled to was Exo Man of War, because that was something that also I did not expect it to be as good as it was, because Robert Venditti was a relatively new writer.
Right.
But from the very beginning, I loved the book. And it all came down to story and character. So Harbinger was my entry. Exo was next. And then I expanded outward, you know, like into Bloodshot, into Shadow Man, which at that time I think was being co-written by Justin Jordan and Patrick Zerker and being illustrated by Patrick Zerker. Patrick was someone that I had worked with back in the Batman days. So following his work was a no-brainer. And I got more and more into the mythology and, you know, found my favorite characters, Toyo Harada, and his story with the Bleeding Monk, one of my favorite stories. Faith Herbert, seeing Faith Herbert nurture from the very beginning in Harbinger, seeing the Armor Hunter storyline, and seeing how that spawned out of Exo Man of War, and seeing the character development of the Armor Hunter's characters themselves. You know, it was just very clear that, you know, Warren and Dinesh had a clear vision and worked with these different creators to get the best stories. At the core of the Valiant universe are great characters and great stories, and not comic books that you can just read in 8 minutes and be done with it. Meaty stories that you probably need 15 to 20 minutes to read, and that you say to yourself, I want to see what comes next.
Yeah, and if you had to kind of sum up your vision for the publishing line as you kind of start working with these creators, as you said, and the rest of the team to create these amazing stories and keep it going, if you had to sum up your vision in just a couple of sentences or one idea, has that crystallized for you yet? Or are you still kind of working that out?
For me, the vision is organic growth. So the thing about the Valiant universe is the expansion of it is based off of story and character development. So I have to follow in that legacy and think about the future of the Valiant universe the same way. It's not throwing a bunch of ideas against a wall and see what sticks. It's following the events of Harbinger Wars 2, what is the world going to look like? Where are characters going to be positioned? If we reintroduce a team, how does that make sense in this new future? Because the world after Harbinger Wars 2 is going to be different than the world before Harbinger 2. So these are things I have to think about, and these are discussions that I have with editorial director Robert Myers and editor Carl Bollers about how are we going to look at growing this mythology going forward. And that's when you start collaborating with the various writers that we have on their team. To me, the beauty of the Valiant universe is that it's not just a superhero universe. I feel like the Valiant universe is a multi-genre universe in which you can tell a story in any genre you want. And I think that's the great thing about it. So when you call it a superhero universe, that's a generalization. It's really the most multi-layered universe in the North American comic book space, and possibly the global space. You can think about a number of other universes. You can think a number of franchises, but there's certain genres that you cannot fit stories into them. You would have to shoehorn it or force it. With Valiant, it's absolutely organic.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're really, I mean, because I think that's one of the fears that some of the hardcore Valiant fans or longtime loyal Valiant fans have had, is that with this, all these changes, that things are going to be thrown away or discarded or forgotten about. But it really seems like you're just trying to build on what's already there. Everything counts, and you're just following in the footsteps and picking up the threads that have already been established.
Absolutely right. You know, you have your core characters. You have your Exo Man of War, your Bloodshot, you know, your Shadow Man. You have Ninjak, the big expansion of Ninjak with the Ninja K program, or the Ninja program, and Ninjak is Ninja K being one of the ninjas. You have ideas like Harbinger and Archer and Armstrong. And these are core ideas. A number of them are in publication now. Shadow Man is just coming off the heels of a fantastic relaunch, the response to issue one being so good that we're going back to second printing immediately. The core fans have been very loyal to those characters and to stories. So those are not going away. They will always be there. And we're going to continue to follow the tradition that people like Dinesh and Warren set up, which is a combination of established voices and new voices that can bring interesting points of view to these characters and that can grow with the company. So that's going to happen. And what we're also going to do is look at the Valiant universe and see what other gems we can pull out through archaeology and really look at how to polish those off and naturally bring them to the forefront. Faith is an amazing character that I love. Right now, Faith has been very successful. So we want to look at more stories with Faith. And there are other characters that you've already seen that are becoming more important. Livewire has a very significant role in Harbinger Wars 2, coming off of the Secret Weapons miniseries. So it is really going forward and building upon the great landscape that already exists.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, finding some of these other gems. And I mean, are you looking to really expand? Because at one point, it was like six titles, and there was talk of going higher, and then it never really seemed to happen when one series would end, another would start, and they always seem to stay, you know, under 10. And there's a lot of Valiant fans that think there's room for more than that. Is that something you're looking toward, or are you just going to kind of wait and see, let it happen organically, as you said? Where do you stand on that?
As a company, you know, editorial has been talking with the various other departments, Fred Pierce, the publisher, marketing, sales, publicity. We're having talks about how to grow the Valiant universe, but to grow the Valiant universe at a manageable rate, at a rate that makes sense. So again, we're not just going to do a book just to do it. We're going to do it because it makes sense, because it's going to branch out of a Harbinger Wars 2 kind of event, or it's something that we know the fans have been wanting, and this is a perfect time to bring it to the surface, to the forefront. So there is talk about growth, but that's going to happen at a reasonable pace. We want to keep things at a reasonable size, and part of the reason we want to do that is because we want the fans who are following the entire Valiant universe to be able to afford to do that every month. The more books you put out, the harder you make it for any given fan to be able to follow the entire universe if they want to do that.
Right. And like you said, not just a book for the sake of doing it, it's got to be a good idea, right? And one of the axioms that Dinesh used to always preach, Warren, Fred will tell you the same thing, is best idea wins, right? Best story idea wins. And as an editor, do you subscribe to that idea as well?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's what it all comes down to. You know, we will talk to a number of writers about pitching for something, and it comes down to the best one. What's the one that really stands out? And that's the one that we go for. And then it's a matter of timing. Once you find the best story, it's where does this fit into the timeline of the Valiant universe? So first there's quality, and then there's opportunity. And then once you can do that, then you can start putting your team together and figure out where it goes in a publishing plan. But it all starts with the best stories.
Yeah, because I always hate it when it you know, one of the big two, and not to say they don't put out some good books, but they'll do some big event, and then like automatically they have to launch three or four titles. And it's not necessarily because it's a good idea. It's just because they had this big event, they had some initiative, and now they've got to have something new on the shelf. I'd rather have a good idea first, you know, instead of just arbitrary titles for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that other publishers have different concerns. And I think when you are a company of a certain size, maintaining that size can be problematic. You know, the thing about Valiant that's cool is, as a really high quality publisher, because of that, we have a manageable number of books. So if you have a manageable number of books, it's easier to maintain a level of high quality throughout all the books. So we will never expand to the point that we cannot maintain the quality across all the titles.
Ah, that's good to hear. I think that'll hopefully assuage some of the fears out there. And if you could speak to the fans, because you know that I've talked a lot about kind of the loyal core fan base. They don't, like a lot of comic fans, don't take well to change. A lot of them knew Dinesh and Warren personally. So they, you know, they see those guys are gone now. And in a way, it's kind of the nature of the business. Things change. But they are fearful because of the personnel movement. So if you could say something to those fans that are worried, what would you tell them so that you can kind of put those fears at ease?
Basically, what I want to say to everyone is, as a fellow Valiant fan, as someone that highly respects the work that people like Dinesh Shamdasani, Warren Simon, Hunter Goranson brought to the table, that we're committed to maintaining the high quality of the books, getting all of the books out on time, every time, and being available for communication. You know, I consider myself the most social media active editorial person in comics. So as soon as it got announced, you know, I started having conversations with people. And that's something that I really like to do. So people ask me questions. I'll answer the questions as much as I can. I had someone immediately say to me, hey, you know, now that you're executive editor, you know, we're really pushing to get Rebel Wilson, the actress, to be Faith, you know, and the person tagged Rebel Wilson. And I responded and said, Rebel doing Faith would be great by me. I don't have a problem with it. What's the problem? I see no problem. So, you know, I am one of you. I am not just coming to these books. I've been familiar with these books for some time, and the stories and the characters are the most important thing. And that's something that the entire company is committed to. And I'm a member of a great team here. I'm looking forward to continuing to work with publisher Fred Pierce, to work with Mel Kahlo, Atom Freeman, Robert Myers, Victoria McNally, Annie Rosa, Carl Bowlers, Peter Stern, the entire team to put out the best comic books.
So just be patient. Hear that, guys? Just be patient. I love that you're active on social media. I know, you know, Dinesh was very active. He was always drumming up interest and interacting with fans. And it's great to hear that you're going to kind of keep up that tradition, and that you're going to be accessible. So if there's any Valiant fans.
If they've been checking ever since I started the job, I have been quite active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram regarding, you know, what's going on here at Valiant. And don't expect the quality of the books to drop a dip.
So if any of our listeners don't know what your social media handles are on those platforms, where's the best place to find you?
Okay, well, on Facebook, it's Joe Illige, last name spelled I-L-L-I-D-G-E. On Twitter, it's Joseph P. Illige. And on Instagram, it's I-L-L-M-A-S-T-E-R-O-N-E. I'm already being followed on IG by the Harbinger Foundation. So we're covered there.
Nice. And for you listeners, I'll put all those links in the show notes. So if you want to follow Joe and ask him about your favorite Valiant character and when they're going to get a title, you'll be able to do that. So I want to thank you for your time, Joe. Really, really appreciate it. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners and the Valiant fans out there?
Just that Harbinger Wars 2 is about to roll out. We're really excited about it. And what is going to come from that is going to lay out the future of the Valiant universe. You can expect to see more of your favorite characters, expect to see more Faith, expect to see more Bloodshot. The Ninja program continues really strong. Shadow Man has just begun what Andy Diggle and Steven Segovia and a collection of artists have in store for you is going to be pretty amazing. And keep up with events at the company's website, valiantentertainment.com, where we constantly have updates. And I'm hoping to do the convention circuit quite a bit this year. So I'm hoping to meet a lot of Valiant fans personally.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds great, Joe. Again, thanks for the time. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Hello, everyone. This is Jace once again. And I'm here with another recent addition to the Valiant family. I have Mel Kahlo, a new director of marketing for Valiant. And he's going to, much like Joe did yesterday, he just wants to talk about his role and kind of get to know the fans and kind of assure everybody that, you know, the brand is still in good hands. It's still the Valiant that we know and love. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jace. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, it was really great. It's so funny. You listeners won't know this, but I was at WonderCon with Manny almost a month ago now, and we're just kind of randomly walking around at night between the two hotels there, and we just randomly run into Mel outside. We never had met before, only corresponded via email, so it was almost like serendipity that we ran into each other, had a great chat. So, you know, right off the bat, before I start asking Mel some questions here and let him kind of tell you what he's all about, let me assure you listeners that Mel cares very much. That was so evident to me, like right from the start when we started talking. So, you know, I want to assure everybody that he's passionate about Valiant, and you know, I'm going to let him tell you himself. So why don't you give us your history with comics, first of all, Mel? Did you grow up reading them? How did you kind of get into the whole comic industry?
I was actually late coming to comics, and I'm going to date myself. I was in my 20s, well into my 20s, early 20s, when I started reading comics on a regular basis. And it was that speculator boom that actually got me in. So I started in the early 90s reading comics, thanks to a very good friend, a best friend of mine who had really been into comics. And he just started, you know, lending me his comics to read. And then when I got bit by the bug, you know, I started going to my shop in Manhattan where I grew up, Forbidden Planet. And I just got swallowed up by the new Valiant. I mean, Valiant coming on the scene and then Image coming on the scene and all the gimmicks that were starting. I really invested heavily in comics. And, you know, I was that guy who bought 20 copies of Bloodshot Chromium cover number one, and then, you know, bag 19 and red one, you know, I was that guy. But at the same time, I also had started reading Wizard magazine, which started around the same time. And I became a huge fan of the magazine just because of the humor and the writing styles and the information. And of course the price guide. I was always looking in the back of the price guide to see how much my Harbinger one was worth. but yeah, that's how I got started reading the comics. I started as a speculator, but then I became a fan. After a while, though, you know, when the speculator boom dropped out, and you know, I also, you know, coincided with me not having as much income, I stopped buying comics and reading comics on a regular basis. But I never stopped buying Wizard. I always bought Wizard every month because I felt that if I read Wizard, I could keep up with the industry, even though I couldn't always read every comic that I wanted to read.
Right. That's true. Now, did you always want to get into marketing? I mean, is that what you went to school for? How did that whole thing come about?
No. And people are going to hate me for this story, but I fell into it. I went to school for print journalism. So I was more of a writer and an editor. Long story short, I was been such a fan of Wizard that they had put out a call for a copy editor. So I applied and then I got the job. So I started out at Wizard magazine as a copy editor. And then that started me on a career there. I worked there for 7 years, 4 years for the first tour. Then I left and started my own business for 2 years. That didn't work out. And I came back and worked there for another three. And during that time, you know, I, you know, got to know a lot of people who worked in the industry, comic book creators, other publishers, convention people. I hate to toot my own horn, but I was a pretty affable fellow. So a lot of people kind of took to me, and I managed to, you know, meet and know a lot of people in comics. When my time in Wizard was up, I was approached by Matt Hawkins at Top Cow. He asked me to be his marketing person, and I told him that, hey, well, I'm really not a marketing guy. I'm a writer and editor. And he goes, I can teach you how to market comics. I would like to bring you on because of all the people, you know, and, you know, I think that it would be great for Tap Cow if you came on and people saw that you came on and that, you know, we'd be able to foster some great relationships with other creators and people in the industry. So that's how I got started. I became a marketing person at Top Cow. I did that for a year. And then I got hired by Arkea Entertainment and did the marketing over there. And when Arkea was acquired by Boom Studios, I moved over to Boom. And when that relationship ended, I got picked up by Valiant to be their director of marketing. And here I am. I've been marketing comics for 10 years now. So it's been a nice journey, and I would not trade it for anything.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, you know, being that you were with Wizard for so long, a lot of people would say, you know, even though maybe you were a copy editor over there, that Wizard was really a marketing tool in and of itself. So I feel like your experience there kind of prepared you, along with, you know, probably a lot of things that Matt, you know, showed you. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of a natural evolution, if you will.
And that's a very good point, because I was on that side, because I was on a press side, I was able to translate that to when I was doing PR, which is part of marketing. Like, you know, what do I think that journalists would like to see? What kind of pitches would they be more apt to pick up, or what kind of pitches would they be more apt to accept? So, you know, I had that luxury of having been on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, and when Valiant approached you, like you said, you had been a fan in the 90s, so you were already familiar with the characters, right?
I was familiar with the characters. But when it relaunched in 2012, you know, I had not been as familiar. Like, I didn't know what the new Valiant was, or I did read a couple of Volume 1 trades, because I had been good friends. I had been, you know, con friends with, you know, guys like Dinesh and Hunter and Adam.
Right.
And then, you know, how sometimes when publishers, they trade books at the end of shows. So,
yeah.
So I was able to, I think, grab some trades, and I read the first Harbinger. I read the first XO, and I think I read the first Archer and Armstrong. Archer and Armstrong was one of my favorites when I first started reading Valiant in the 90s. So that was when it was relaunched. I had to see how everything was and what it was all about. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I think that the guys did a really fantastic job with, you know, making it fresh, but at the same time, being respectful of the heritage, not the heritage, of the legacy of Valiant Comics when it first started in the 90s. But there is always so much content to read that, you know, I didn't have that luxury to keep up with Valiant books or any other publisher outside of what I was doing at Boom.
Right. So when Valiant did bring you on, you still had some homework to do, so to speak, to get caught up.
I'm still doing it. I'm catching up now. But what's been great is just seeing these characters that I had grown to like in the 90s, but being portrayed in a whole new light and being worked on by, you know, different creators and even like A-list creators like Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent and Josh Dysart. You know, it was nice to see. It's nice to see, you know, such quality talent working on these books. And I think that someone at the company also pointed me toward a Reddit thread listed the books or listed the characters in reading order. So if I could follow a timeline, you know, I could use that Reddit thread just to get me familiar. But right now, I'm all about, you know, garbling up the Volume 1s, especially from the first iteration when they first launched in 2012.
Right.
I'm reading the stuff from the from what happened in the previous year since last year to 2017, and getting to read stuff that's coming out. So just trying to refamiliarize myself with all these characters and some of the new ones as well.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot, but any particular favorites? Is it still Archer and Armstrong in this new go-round?
I really love the Shadow Man number one. That just came out like 2 weeks ago. I know that's I feel like a cop-out, but I read that, and I was able to read the next couple of issues. And it's funny because Shadow Man wasn't a character that I really took to when in the 90s. I didn't even play the video game, but this new iteration, this new relaunch, the 2018 launch, because I know that it was had come out earlier during the Valiant 2.0, so to speak. I really dug it, so that's what's fresh in my mind, and that's what I liked. I also, you know, I can't really say no to Archer and Armstrong. I just love those characters so much. But it's a close second. But right now it's Shadow Man.
All right. Fair enough. Well, obviously, you know, you have some big shoes to fill, you know, the Valiant marketing team from the start, since they launched in 2012, they've been really innovative and they've done a lot of things that nobody in the industry has ever done before. And I think, you know, I talked to Hunter and Dinesh about it several times, Adam Freeman as well, you know, who's still there, just about how kind of original and novel these ideas are. And Dinesh and Hunter used to always come back with, well, we're kind of smaller, so we really need to do something new and do something that, you know, grabs people's attention that hasn't been done before, because we are trying to, you know, make our presence felt, being that we're a smaller publisher. So do you hope to continue that? Are you hoping to keep pushing the envelope and keep trying to do new things? Or do you want to kind of transition into more traditional promotions? Like what's your thought on that?
You know, that's a great question. You know, it was one of those marketing initiatives that got my attention in the first place. You know, it was the Chromium covers that the Valiant of the 90s did. And that hooked me. So, you know, you're right. The marketing initiatives that that Valiant came up with back in the day, I know they did coupons, they did those gold logo books, and the Chromiums. And then for having Hunter and Dinesh and the rest of the team and Adam pick up on that in this new iteration, that's not something I want to change. That's not something I want to go away. There are upcoming initiatives that will include a mix of traditional promotions, because, you know, that's low hanging fruit. You know, the traditional promotions are, if they're easy to do, then you might as well do them. Right. But there are definitely going to be some other unconventional ways that we can help, you know, grab that attention, because Hunter and Dinesh are right. I mean, you have to be able to stand out in a crowded field of publishers. And I think that some of the things that they came up with were genius. I'd definitely like to continue that. I hope to continue that. So we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things they've done, one that stands out to me that seemed to get a lot of attention was when they bought a lot of the old Wildstorm or Wildcats number 2 and reusing that foil. That seemed to get everybody's attention. And I know the books, Quantum and Woody, the foil ones have done well. So yeah, just new ideas like that, things that haven't been done before. So yeah, I'm excited to hear you say that you're going to try to continue to come up with new ideas. And you also mentioned the gold book initiative. So that's going to continue as well.
Yes. You know, when I first joined, I was literally a week into the job when I was asked to go to WonderCon, and I met up with Adam and Carl Ballers there, the new editor. And then Adam had in his briefcase, you know, a stack of gold books. And then I asked him, like, are those from the 90s? No. These are our gold books that we give out to fans that we see, that, you know, if they have swag on, or if they come to a panel, or if they utter a secret word that we mentioned at the panel, at our booth. Obviously, at WonderCon, that didn't really matter because we didn't have a booth at WonderCon.
Right.
But yes, I thought that gold book program is amazing, because, you know, it is such a nice quality collectible. It's not something that you can buy in a store. Not something that you can mail away for. You can only get it in person at a convention. So yes, absolutely, we're going to continue that program.
Cool. You mentioned, you know, going to convention, and comic conventions are a dime a dozen these days. It seems like there's not just one every weekend, but multiples every weekend. And, you know, Valiant's known for doing a lot of shows and really hand selling these incredible stories at those shows. But it seems like lately the sales force hasn't quite been there. Like you said, you guys weren't able to exhibit at WonderCon this year. And I know part of it has to do with the transition and recent changes and everything, but are you looking forward? Are you looking to kind of reestablish, make sure you're doing shows, make sure you have a good team at the show to kind of introduce people to these great stories?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes, you were right that during this transition period, you know, we had to pull away or pull out of some shows that we were initially going to go to. But going forward, from today on to the rest of the year, we do have an ambitious convention program that will include Phoenix next month, Denver in June, Baltimore Comic Con, and our hometown show, New York Comic Con. As you know, and as many Valiant fans know, we don't typically exhibit at San Diego, but we will be there, and several of us will be there to do a fan panel, have the poker game that usually takes place. We definitely want to continue that outreach with the hardcore fans. But as you say, hand selling to fans who are not familiar with us, fans who were familiar with the Valiant but were not aware of the new relaunch, that's something that's going to continue. We may not be able to get to every show. And as you know, exhibiting is not a cheap prospect. It's always a very big drain on manpower and resources anytime that we go to a show. But yes, we do have, we have Adam, we have the sales force, we have myself, we have editors, we have Victoria, our, senior marketing communications manager as well. We are all evangelists that will be going to as many shows as we can for the next for the rest of the year, and then once we start planning for 2019, we hope to stay ambitious and try to get out to as many shows as we can as well. We may not be able, like I said, we may not be able to get to everyone, but hopefully we'll be at the show that most fans can get to us.
Yeah, that's definitely good news, and I know I've actually had a few newer Valiant fans reach out to me asking if I, about this specifically, like, oh, they're usually at this show or that show and they weren't this year. And I'm like, it's tough right now, but you'll get back there. And here's just one more question concerning shows. And you may or may not know this might be a question for Adam Freeman, but so Valiant usually runs the promotion at a show for volume ones. If you buy three, basically get one free. Do you know, is that still going to be an initiative?
At C2E2, what we did with volume ones was it was $10 for any volume one, or what was it? Six for 30.
So you're getting three. So you're getting two free, 30. Basically.
Buy three, get two free. Exactly. I don't know about the promotion you mentioned, but I do know that
that might have been the one I was thinking. Yeah, that might have been the one I was thinking of, because I know they're all. Yeah, I know volume ones are always $10, so it's a great price. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's what it was at Phoenix last year. So you buy three, you pay 30, but then you're getting two more. So you guys can't beat that, listeners. So if you haven't taken advantage, next time you get out there to a show with Valiant, certainly take advantage of that.
That's a great deal.
Let's kind of shift gears here, Mel. When DMG first took over, Dan Mintz himself kind of stressed the desire to move these characters into other mediums. Kind of said it was a priority for Valiant to kind of get these characters in front of the eyes of, kind of a larger audience. So that's really a challenge for you from a marketing side of things, right? Is that going to change the way you guys exhibit at shows? Or are you going to try to do other things as these other media, like the Bloodshot movie and stuff? Or are you looking toward that already?
As you may know, things in Hollywood move very slowly. So not in the immediate future. At Valiant proper, we're all about the comics and, that's what we're focused on. However, that's not to say that you won't see us partner with a studio or a network who has an investment in our properties, at a future show. I think that would be a nice, signal boost for Valiant and for the characters and the comics themselves. I know that DMG and Dan are focused on translating or pushing these characters into other mediums or other media, movies, TV shows, and whatnot. But at Valiant proper, which I work for, it's all about the comics. It's all about the the publishing line, maintaining the quality of the comics, and making it all about the characters. So there may be opportunities to partner with bigger companies in the future, but for now, it's we're focused on the comics.
I think that's actually going to make a lot of the loyal fans of Valiant very happy, because I think one thing they're worried about is you guys, you know, you're a small shop. And if you're looking mm-hmm. to promote things outside of comics and find yourself stretched too thin, so it's good to hear that that's still where the focus is going to remain, at least for now. You know, like you said, in the future, when these things start to come to fruition, you know, that may change. And hopefully by that time, you guys will, you know, even have a bigger team. So that's good to hear. But speaking of that fan base, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Jay, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to add also that, you know, the movies and the TV shows, if and when they do come to fruition, that can only be a boost for us in the publishing line. You know, just getting additional eyes on Bloodshot, let's say, for instance, since that one's in play, you know, once that movie comes out next year, you know, we'll definitely be able to take advantage of that and, you know, create a publishing line around that movie that, you know, that new readers can take advantage of if they're not as familiar with the character, the source books for the character. So, yeah, there's a lot of synergy that can be taken advantage of. But for us, we're focusing on the comic book side.
Yeah, but I mean, that's great. That's great, because, like you said, it's all about getting more eyes on it. So, it only makes sense when the movie comes out to make sure you have a Bloodshot title there that's accessible, not, you know, issue 17 in the middle of an arc that comes out the same, you know, you've got to give something there for the person that's just jumping on, who's just come from the theater. So yeah, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was mentioning then the fan base, and how I think that, you know, a lot of what you're saying about focusing on the publishing line is going to be music to their ears. And I know with WonderCon and C2E2, you've kind of had an idea to realize just how dedicated this core fan base is. And with all the changes recently, you know, I was talking to Joe about this as well, they've been kind of worried. So I just wonder, is there anything you would like to say to the fans directly to kind of ease their fears or kind of ease that worry that they have that things are going to completely change and get blown up and started over and all that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah. Thanks for giving me that opportunity. Actually, I would like to say to these fans, not to worry and to be patient and to have faith. I mean, that's not, you know, no pun intended. With the addition of Joe, as you mentioned, and then Carl Ballers a few weeks before him as a new editor. And then, as you may have seen, we've announced a slew of promotions, including, you know, Adam became a vice president and Robert Myers became our editorial director. And we upped Victoria as well. And then Peter Stern, Annie Rosa on the sales team, you know, all of these promotions and additions to the staff are not signs of a company that is about to fold and, you know, go away. It's a sign of progress. And I think that I personally would not have joined 6 weeks ago or whenever it was, if I thought that, you know, the company was going under or going away. I just think that, you know, the players have changed a little, but the game remains the same. We're here and devoted to these characters, to these stories. It's always been about the characters, and it always will be about the characters. So, and I think that the team that we have in place right now is a really strong team. And I think that we're going to be able to continue that legacy, and hopefully, you know, the fans will respond favorably and stick around. So, yeah, to those fans, I just say, please just be patient and stick around and stay with us. And hopefully, you know, you won't be sorry.
Yeah, let me ask you this, were you surprised at those conventions on just how kind of dedicated and hardcore the Valiant fans are, or had you been prepared for that?
Oh, totally surprised. I was not prepared for it at all. I think Adam tried to give me a sense of it going in, but anything that he told me could not prepare me for the kind of response that I received. I mean, even running into you that night, you know, that was very telling for me. You know, it was, there was no one around. It was like midnight or after midnight. And I was just literally checking emails on my phone. And then you saw my hat, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we struck up a conversation. Yeah. I was wearing a Valiant hat. But then, you know, outside of that, I had maybe, gosh, a dozen conversations with different people at WonderCon, you know, expressing their concerns and their worries. And I did my best to allay any concerns or fears that they had. And the same thing at C2E2, you know, we had a booth there. So we also, we set off a section of our booth just to be a meeting area. And we invited fans and retailers and industry press, anyone who wanted to come and talk, to basically just come in, ask us questions. We were very transparent. And that's how I began to realize how passionate of a fan base that Valiant has. And then I joined the Valiant Facebook group. I have not yet joined the Valiant fans message board, but I see it. I see it online too. I see how fervently passionate these fans are. And to be honest with you, I have not seen this kind of passion from a fan base for a comic book publisher outside of Marvel DC anywhere. So it was a surprise, but it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, you didn't quite realize what you were getting yourself into, huh?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But it's been great because the fans are great because, you know, they're very forgiving too. You know, they know that I'm new to the company, so they're not all expecting me to be up on everything, but they're also very understanding. They're very patient. But I think that, you know, what I can bring or what I've shown thus far is that it's a passion to learn, to become aware of and read up on these characters, and then using my skill sets and my abilities to help spread that word even further, or, you know, out in the general sphere of things.
Yeah, I think what Hunter learned and what he took advantage of at times is, like, it's almost like you have this little mini marketing army to help you spread the Valiant word, you know. You just have to figure out
the
best way to take advantage.
Oh, yeah.
But for a marketing guy, I mean, that's you there's no amount of money you could spend to get that passion if you tried to buy it.
No, absolutely not. And I see it every day when I visit the Facebook page. So I'm about to get onto the Reddit threads and the Valiant fans message board. But, you know, I hope they don't eat me alive, but I'll do my best to, you know, to keep things calm.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned social media, and Joe and I talked about this as well, as he's tried to be a presence on social media already. I know Dinesh is, you know him personally. I know him personally. He's a, you know, very, you know, he's a fan first too. So he definitely had that presence on social media. Joe's going to have that presence on social media and be accessible. You're hoping to kind of follow in those footsteps as well and interact with fans and get feedback and kind of get a feel for where things are.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the best way to take the temperature of the fan, just to personally interact with them. I have been trying to answer questions where I can on the Facebook page. I haven't been tagged as so much on Twitter. So maybe after this conversation, people can know that they can reach me on Twitter as well. I'll try to answer as quickly as accurate and, you know, quickly as I can. And then the message board itself, I hope to, like I mentioned, I hope to join it and you know, address any questions that fans will have there as much as possible. But speaking of Dinesh, I mean, he was a force on social media, and his accessibility was unprecedented. I don't know if there's anyone who can replace Dinesh, but I know that Joe and Adam and, you know, Robert Myers and I, and all the other Valiant staff members who are still here or are with the company right now, will do our best to, you know, keep fans engaged and answer any questions and address any issues. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if someone does want to reach out to you on Twitter, what's your handle?
Oh, it's my name. It's Mel Kylo, M-E-L-C-A-Y-L-O. I'm also Mel Kylo on Facebook. I have an Instagram too, but I don't really answer questions on Instagram. That's also my name.
Yeah, and I'll put those links in the show notes, listeners, so you can follow Mel and ask him your questions. So as we wrap up here, Mel, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I want to thank you again, Jace, for offering me this platform to speak to fans and speak to the listeners. If there's one thing that it's definitely something that I've learned is that there are podcasts like this which are great avenues for us to be able to reach the fans if we can't reach them by other means. I think that I wouldn't have joined the company if I didn't have any confidence in it, and I really am excited to be here right now at this moment. It feels like it feels like it's another do-over, but it's really not. It's just a continuation of what's been going on, and I am honored and I am excited to be a part of this company, its characters, and all the titles that are coming up. I can't wait until next month when we start making announcements about what's coming up for the rest of the year. So I think that once those are coming out, fans will hopefully get reinvigorated and quote unquote hashtag stay valiant.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think again, part of the worry was just it went from as you said, Dinesh being so accessible to not really much was being said, and it was because you guys were kind of focused inward on getting everything together and getting all the, everything just resituated. And I think what a lot of people read about was it was an ending in a way, but from everyone that I've talked to that's come on or is still there, and, the talk with Joe and the talk with you, the sense that I get is that it's a handoff. It's a handoff of the characters and the properties in the universe from the people that started it and were passionate about it to people that are coming on and they're new and they're excited about the challenges, but the passion is still there. So I just want to, kind of reassure everyone, and I'm sure Mel would echo my sentiments, that it's not an ending and it's not a restart or a reboot or a relaunch. It's just a handoff. The characters you love, the stories you love and have read, they still matter. And the universe is going to keep going in the same trajectory that it's been going, with maybe some new, fresh ideas. And, change is part of life. And, hopefully it's changed for the better.
I could not have said it better myself, Jace. That is exactly it.
Great. Well, again, Mel, I want to thank you for joining me. I'm sure when all these announcements start coming, I'll be bugging you to come back on and talk about them, or maybe get some of the creators on and everything. I'm going to hashtag stay valiant. So again, thanks for joining me, Mel. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure I'll see you soon.
And thank you again, Jace. I really do appreciate it.